Good day. May the Lord be with you today and bless you as always. Our message today is on to forgive. And the point, forgiveness restores and strengthens relationships. And the passages are Matthew 18 through 21, 18, 21 through 28, and 32 through 35. Let us have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just come before you grateful hearts in thanksgiving for all your many, many blessings that we have received. Lord, though things can appear to be really bad, as long as we have you in our hearts, we have joy. We know where we're going. We've read the book. We know how it ends. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us the security and the hope and the love of Jesus Christ to protect our lives. And we just thank you, Lord. We pray that this pandemic will end, that our church will all be protected by the full armor of God, our families. Lord, help us get Christians on their knees, ask for forgiveness, change their ways, and you will heal our land. Amen. The passages are Matthew 18, 21 through 28, and I'll be reading the whole chapter of Matthew 18. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Now the rabbis of that day taught that you should forgive an offender up to three times. Peter was being generous. He had more than doubled what he was taught. He was being better than what he was taught. And Jesus saith unto him, until seven times, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Wow. Peter would have been shocked with this answer. Essentially, Jesus answered, there were no limits on how many times we forgave someone. He was really telling Peter and us that we should be more like himself when he pours out unlimited grace to us. Mark 11:25 says, and when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespass. Now there's a condition here. Forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Jesus now, and for the rest of this chapter, speaks employing a parable, to allow his audience a better understanding of his message to them and to us. Verse 23, Matthew. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. Now this was a staggering debt. Halley's Bible handbook states that one talent was about $1,000. Therefore, the servant owed the master $10 million. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. This compares with the unlimited grace and forgiveness we receive when we accept Jesus our Savior. Our sins are blotted out, and we become totally pure in God's eyes. Forgiving this massive debt shows us there is no limit on what sin or sins God forgives. We have an awesome God. The servant worshiped the Lord, begged for forgiveness, and promised to change his ways. This is what God wants and expects from us, to be forgiven our debts, and he demands that we treat our debtors with the same compassion and forgiveness. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what thou owest." And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now a talent was worth $1,000. The first servant's debt was $10 million, forgiven. A pence was worth about 17 cents. The debt was $17, and he was cast into prison, unforgiven. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, this is verse 31, when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on the fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" Beloved, consider how you would answer this question when you meet the Lord. Your answer to this question is especially important to you, one of the most important of your life. Jesus closes our scripture with clear instructions. "And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. If ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." What shall be our fate if we fail to forgive? It could not be said any stronger. It could not be any clearer. God wants to forgive us, but only to the extent that we forgive others. We must forgive. Forgiveness has played an important role in my life, and I would like to close with a personal testimony about forgiveness that has changed my life. My parents were loving parents that gave us a moral upbringing and encouraged self-initiative and independence, but they happened to be alcoholics. My dad owned his own business, an appliance store that delivered bottle gas. There were 6 children, 4 boys and 2 girls. The boys were expected to work for my dad at about 25% the going rate. We could have earned more money elsewhere, and I am sure I resented that, but I enjoyed the work and really did not lack for anything. I worshiped my dad. He was a man of integrity. His word was sacred to him. As a storyteller, he was an absolute spellbinder. We could listen to him for hours. My dad, his dad was a Free Methodist minister that believed, in those days they did this, they believed if you sinned at all, you could not be saved. Dad believed his parents were examples of sinless lives. He knew the Bible, and he knew Jesus, but not to the point believing his sins were forgiven by the blood. Consequently, he decided to have a fun-filled life and not worry about the inevitable. After I was saved at age 25, I never missed an opportunity to witness and discuss the Bible, especially the plan of salvation, with my father. I like to think he accepted the Lord, but he never told me that he did. But he died with a smile on his face. I worship my dad. I tried to emulate his good points and discard the bad. I did rather good following his good points, but not as good with avoiding the bad. I'm so sorry today, but I shouted at my kids when they did something wrong. That was like my dad. It hurt them deeply. I knew it, not so much at the time, but later. Unlike my dad, I never disciplined my children when I was angry. I would send them to their room, and I used that as a cooling off period for me. And then I went into their room, calmly discussed what they did and their behavior, told them how much I loved them, and asked them to change their ways. The result was usually good and always ended up with a hug and a kiss. We talked out the problem together. The final result was love and forgiveness. My kids were great forgivers. By the time I was in seventh grade, I realized I rated pretty low in my dad's eyes. My parents called me the black sheep. By high school, Dad disciplined me often, usually in anger, and far more often than any of my brothers. I resented the difference. I did not understand it, did not think I deserved it. My frustration led to bitterness and an absolutely explosive temper. I graduated at 17, and I held down 3 part-time jobs until I left home at age 17 to join the Air Force. I left on Labor Day. I left with a lot of unresolved conflicts that plagued me for years. And then God took control of my life. I went to Promise Keepers at the Silver Dome. It was an organization that started out to have men be the Christian leaders of their homes, to love, honor, and respect their wives, to be an example to their children. It was a 3-day event of evangelism and praise. I thought it would change our world. I was so impressed, I paid the fees for the next year for my 3 brothers, and I just called them and said, "You're coming. You know I don't throw my money around. You know, I expect you to be there." They came. 2 of my brothers were Catholics, and they got saved the next year, and they gave part of their tithe to the Promise Keepers for years. It was the best $200 I ever spent. The next year, that was about 1980, on the final day, all of the teens were taken out of their own meeting. All of the fathers remained in the Silver Dome. I do not remember the scripture or the preacher's name, but I will never forget the message. The message was about forgiveness. And the preacher stated, "You cannot be the father you should be if you have not forgiven your father." I knew the preacher was talking directly to me, and I realized I had never forgiven my father. Tears began gushing, and I forgave my father who had been dead for 10 years. I begged God to forgive me for my hard-headedness, my hardness of heart. My brothers and I hugged. They were in tears. They knew why I was in tears. My friends, all the pent-up frustration, bitterness, temper, and anger were gone. The tears washed it away. It took 3 days because I cried for 3 days. I did not forgive, and it turned in on me. We have an awesome God. He forgives, and He wants us to forgive. The next Sunday, all the men that attended that event went to the altar for testimony. I relayed my experience and there were many tears in the church. My daughters were there and in tears, and I begged them to forgive me for not being the father I could and should have been. My life was changed. The anger was gone to the point that I had to fake being mad a year later. When we forgive, the blessings are showered upon us. The point: forgiveness restores and strengthens relationship. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you. We have received an abundance of grace. We thank you for it. And Lord, we want to share your word. We want people to write it on their hearts. We want them to put it into their lives and just follow your example. Follow your word. And Lord, that is what you command us in Matthew 28. Go forth and teach ye all nations. Lord, we need to do that. That's what we're here on this earth to do. And we dare not leave an opportunity, not any day of the week, of talking about Jesus Christ and his saving grace, his forgiveness of our sins by his own death on the cross and the shedding of his blood, and even going to hell on our behalf. Now, Lord, we're going through troublesome times, but Lord, even tribulation worketh good for those that love the Lord. Now, Jesus, forgive us. Watch over us. Keep us all safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next week, we're going to talk about serve. To serve. Galatians 5, 13 to 15, and 6, 1 to 5, and 10. God bless you. Have a great week.